Our text this morning will be taken from Hebrews chapter 3. If you'd like to turn there, we'll begin there in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 3. Suppose 3.5 years ago, in 2016, the Trump administration could have devised a plan that foreshadowed this pandemic that we're experiencing today. And suppose at that time they could have appointed a spokesperson who could have guided us through it safely and could have at that time as well predicted the reaction of people, not only to the pandemic, but to the plan to get us through it. That would have been amazing. They could not, obviously. But suppose, instead of 3.5 years ago, it could have been done 50 years ago. What if 500 years ago someone could have peered into the future, predicted this pandemic, provided a plan, appointed a spokesperson that would arise, that would safely guide us through it, and tell us what the reaction of the nation would be? Impossible, isn't it? That's exactly right. But look at Hebrews chapter 3. Begin with me in verse 5. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Moses lived not 3.5 years, not 50 years, not 500 years, but 1,500 years. Before Christ came to the earth to fulfill his ministry. And yet this text says that Moses, as a faithful servant in his house, that is, in Israel, testified of the things that would be spoken later. The things spoken later is the gospel of the Son of God. And so the writer is saying that there were things that happened in Moses' ministry, things he experienced and things he taught, that testified, that bore witness to the work of Jesus Christ as our Savior and Redeemer. The word testify refers to what a witness does. And the idea of a witness, whether it's a person or a piece of evidence, serves to provide support for the credibility of either an event or a person. How is it that Moses in his ministry, as a faithful servant in his house, witnessed and provided evidence of the coming of the Son of God who would die on the cross for the sins of men? Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For, see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So when Moses went up on the mountain, he saw a pattern for the building of the tabernacle. And when you read Exodus 25 through 40, you'll see over and over and over again, he made it according to the pattern. He was faithful in his house. Go to chapter 9. The very verses that Keith just read in preparing our minds for the Lord's Supper. Look at verse 11. But when Christ appeared, Moses, 1500 B.C., Christ appears, first century. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come. To come, that is, they were spoken of. They were foreshadowed. He entered through a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holiest place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. When Moses, in his ministry, was faithful to construct that tabernacle according to God's plan, it reflected the plan God already had in place for the redemption of the greatest pandemic that would ever be upon this earth, that is the pandemic of sin. That Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, would come to this earth and offer not animal blood, but his own blood, his own life. He would not only be the atonement victim, he would be the high priest who offered that sacrifice. So here are the Hebrews. They've become Christians. They've embraced this suffering Messiah. They're facing persecution. Their Jewish friends are challenging their faith. He's saying, listen, Moses, the one that you and your brethren respect and have followed, witnessed to these very things. He testified of the things that were to be spoken later. And that's very clear there. But look further in Hebrews chapter 3 where we're reading. He said, Christ is a son over his house, verse 6, whose house we are if. And if is a little word with big consequences, isn't it? If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Way back in the time of Moses in Deuteronomy 18. Look in verse 15. Moses in his ministry was faithful to reveal what God the Holy Spirit empowered him to reveal. And he said in verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. A prophet like me. Here is Moses bearing witness to the fact that God planned to raise a prophet up like Moses. But continue. He's going to be raised from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. If you wanted to maintain the fellowship of the God of Moses as part of the house of Moses, Israel, you had to listen to the prophet God appointed, which was Moses. So now we move 1,500 years down the stream of time. Jesus Christ appears on the scene. He began teaching and teaching and teaching. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Begin with me in verse 47. John chapter 12 and verse 47. If anyone hears my sayings. Now, what did Moses say? You've got to listen. He's going to be like me. You've got to listen to him. You have to listen to Moses or be cut off. Raise a prophet. You've got to listen to him. Listen. Everyone who hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. For I did not come to speak on my own initiative. Jesus didn't want to come. He didn't want to teach these things. That is not what he is saying. Note the next word, but. His point is, I didn't come alone. I'm not on my own. I'm not a renegade. This is nothing new. Not on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. What is a prophet? He's a mouthpiece for God. Isn't that what Jesus is claiming his role is as he teaches? I'm teaching exactly the Father's will. He went on to say, I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. That is being a faithful person, not in his house like Moses, but over his house, as the Hebrew writer says. And so here, Moses witnessed by his work and his prophecy that God would raise up a prophet like him that people must listen to have fellowship with God. And for over 3 years, that's what Jesus did. As a prophet of God, he revealed the wonderful gospel message. Warning of the consequences if you do not believe it. And how you would lose your fellowship with God. But in that message is eternal life. And so Moses witnessed to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7, if you will. Acts chapter 7. Verse 35. Stephen is preaching. Stephen was preaching to Hebrews. Our letter that we're studying is written to Hebrews. Stephen is preaching to Hebrews, and where does he go back to? Verse 35. This Moses. He too goes back to Moses, whom they disowned, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? He talks about how the house of Israel in the time of Moses rejected the leadership of Moses. In spite of the fact, look down in verse 36. This man led them out performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea in the wilderness 40 years. Over and over again, they were ready to cast Moses aside. Sometimes they were wishing to go back to Egypt. Look down at verse 51. Stephen says to these men of his day, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. Listen to this statement. You are doing just as your fathers did. Who in the world would reject a leader who would take a nation oppressed in bondage? Their little baby boys being killed with no hope. and take these people and lead them out victoriously. No longer slaves, but free. No longer poor, but rich. No longer having to worry about what they're going to eat every day or what they're going to wear. Lead them to a promised land. But they did. Now our text in Hebrews chapter 3, he said, we are his house if. In other words, these Hebrew Christians could make the same mistake by renouncing Christ as their deliverer, their leader, their ruler. Note, if you will, down in verse 12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. In the intervening verses, the Hebrew writer talks about the history of this nation, how time and again they turned their backs on God and the appointed leader. And he's telling these Hebrew Christians, don't make the same mistake. Now, when the Hebrew writer said that Moses, as a faithful servant in his house, testified of the things that were to be spoken later, these three things that I've mentioned are not listed as particulars of his testimony. And I do not know if the Hebrew writer had these three things specifically in mind. But here's what I know. The Scripture unequivocally, clearly links those events in the life of Moses with the coming Christ and His work. We are not free to go back into the Old Testament and say, well, here's a type, here's something that's looking forward to the future. This represents that. Just arbitrarily, on the basis of our own feelings or think so. But I trust you've seen that we've provided scriptural foundation, objective foundation, that shows that the ministry of Moses indeed was witnessing to the things that were to be spoken later. It was so clear, that over in John chapter 5, in verse 46, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, or your version may have it as a command. It can be either way, what they're doing or something that He's telling them to do. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are those that testify of Me. He said, this Bible you're reading, the Old Testament, they testify where eternal life is at. And it's in Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24, you'll see once again that Jesus carries people back to this evidential link between Moses and his ministry and the work that he was doing. In Luke 24, he's talking to two men on the road to Emmaus. And you'll note as you get down further in the text, verse 27, he's trying to explain to these men Christ is the one they had put their hope in, had been crucified 3 days ago. It's Sunday, but the tomb's empty. What's happened? They don't understand. They didn't understand the crucifixion. And they didn't understand the resurrection. But look at verse 27. He's trying to explain. Where does he start? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the Scriptures. when you get to the Hebrew letter that we're studying, that's exactly where it begins. He said in chapter 1, verse 1, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, not the end of time, the last days of the Jewish dispensation, when Christ came to the earth in His ministry, has spoken to us in His Son. He came to bring that message. And when He did, He said, Moses witnessed about My work. So that in chapter 2 and verse, let's start at verse 1. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast or unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just penalty, that's talking about the Old Testament given by Moses, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, that is, the message of salvation, as evident by the next phrase, after it was at first spoken through the Lord and confirmed to us by those who heard. And so the tie between Moses and his ministry and Christ is in his ministry is undeniably clear. Well, this would be a great value for the Hebrew readers as they face trials, challenges to their faith. To encourage them that if you believed in Moses, you respected Moses, and you followed Moses, how much more so now that you have embraced Christ, who Moses testified to, should you now believe in Him and keep believing in Him and keep following Him? It would have very practical application to those readers. But for the last few minutes of our study, think about a more universal application. First of all, it testifies to the unity of the Bible. When you pick up this, we call it the book. It's actually 66 books. Written over a period of at least 1,500 years. And yet, you read the first part, you read the last part, it just looks like it was written by one mind. And it was. The Holy Spirit guided Moses, and the Holy Spirit guided the prophets of the New Testament that says Jesus is the fulfillment of that. It's an amazing testimony to the unity of the Bible. Furthermore, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, and them you think you have eternal life. He went on to say, Moses testified about Me. If you would believe his writings, you would believe Me. There are sometimes preachers that tell people, we ought not study the Old Testament. Oh, yes, we should. It's very important. Very important. And this text establishes that, and the verses that we have looked at establish that very clearly. When you teach your children at home, what are you going to teach them? Well, you say, I'm going to teach them the apostles. Good. I'm going to teach them about the church and the plan of salvation. Good. But there was a young boy who became a preacher. That he had a mother and a grandmother who taught him at home. In 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to him, chapter 3, verse 15, from childhood, or your version may say, from the time you were a child. Your version may say, when you were a babe, when he was very young. You've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation in Christ Jesus. His mother and his grandmother took that young boy and pointed him to the things in the Old Testament that led to a Messiah. You can do that as a parent. What a wonderful lesson we can learn from this. The Old Testament was but the shadow of the reality of what God had in store. And when Christ appeared on the scene and John wrote a letter about him, he said in John 1:17, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth were realized or came about, depending on your version, through Jesus Christ. True grace. There was grace in the law of Moses, but it wasn't the fullness and reality of what God had in store. That grace would be realized in its fullness and entirety in Jesus Christ, which says, I ought to rejoice that I live now. Now I know Christ, and now I can partake of the life that He gives. And then returning to our text as we close our study. In Hebrews 3:7. Now we read verse 5 and 6. We're talking about applications. Look at verse 7, the first word. Therefore. So what? Here's the so what. Just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Learn from the lessons of the past. Look at verse 13. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we have a witness to the truth of the event that you took a memorial to, of the person who was willing to give his own life for you and me. That witness is the great prophet Moses, confirmed by God through the plagues of the Exodus. What a wonderful privilege we have to enjoy the confidence and hope in the reality of the truth of what Moses in his ministry testified to.